cheating death. Thanatos always enjoyed, inasmuch as so gloomy a spirit was capable of so cheerful an emotion, that moment when he manifested himself in front of those marked down for death. Appearing before them and visible to no one else, his gaunt form cloaked in black, wisps of hellish gases streaming from him, he would stretch out his arm to his victims with a cruelly deliberate slowness. The moment he touched their flesh with the tip of his bony finger, there would come a piteous whimper from the soul within. Thanatos took great delight in watching his victim's skin go pale and the eyes flutter and film over as life was extinguished. Above all, he loved the sound of the soul's last shuddering sigh as it emerged from its mortal carcass and submitted itself to his manacles, ready to be led away. Sisyphus, as most wily, ambitious schemers are, was a light sleeper. His mind was always turning, and the slightest noise could jerk him awake. Thus it was that even the silent whisper of death gliding into his bedchamber caused him to sit up.
"Who the hell are you?"
"Who the hell, indeed? The hell is just who I am." Thanatos unloosed the sinister, ghoulish laugh that so often sent dying mortals screaming mad.
"Stop groaning. What's the matter with you? Have you got toothache? Indigestion? And don't talk in riddles. What is your name?"
"My name..." Thanatos paused for effect. "My name... I haven't got all night. My name is...
Have you even got a name?"
"Thanatos."
"Oh, so you're death, are you?
Sisyphus seemed unimpressed.
"I thought you'd be taller."
"Sisyphus, son of Aeolus," Thanatos intoned in quelling accents. "King of Corinth, lord of..."
"Yes, yes, I know who I am. You're the one who seems to have trouble remembering their name. Sit down, why don't you? Take the weight off your feet."
"My weight is not on my feet. I am hovering."
Sisyphus looked down at the floor. "Oh, yes, there you are. And you've come for me, have you?"
Not confident that any words of his would be received with the respect and awe they deserved, Thanatos showed Sisyphus his manacles and shook them threateningly in his face.
"So you brought shackles along.
Iron? Steel. Unbreakable steel. Fetters forged in the fires of Hephaestus by Steropes the Cyclops, enchanted by my lord Hades. Whomsoever they bind cannot be unbound, save by the god himself."
"Impressive," Sisyphus conceded. "But in my experience, nothing is unbreakable. Besides, there isn't even a lock or catch.
The hasp and spring are too cunningly contrived to be seen by mortal eyes."
"So you say. I don't believe for a second that they work. I bet you can't close them, even round your skinny arm. Go on, try."
Such open ridicule of his prized manacles could not be borne. "Foolish man," cried Thanatos. "Such intricate devices are beyond the understanding of a mortal. See, here, round my back once and pass in front. Easy. Bring my wrists together, then close up the bracelets, and if you would be good enough to press just here to engage the clasp, there's an invisible panel, and behold!"
"Yes, I see," said Sisyphus thoughtfully. "I do see. I was wrong, quite wrong. What superb workmanship."
Oh. Thanatos tried to wave the manacles, but his whole upper body was now constrained and immobile. Help? Sisyphus sprang from his bed and opened the door of a large wardrobe at the end of the room. It was the simplest thing in the world to send the hovering, tightly bound Thanatos across the room. With one push, he had glided in and bumped his nose on the back of the closet. Turning the key on him, Sisyphus called out cheerily, "The lock to this wardrobe may be cheap and man-made, but I can assure you that it works as well as any fetters forged in the fires of Hephaestus." Muffled, despairing cries came, begging to be let out. But with a hearty mwahahaha, Sisyphus skipped away, deaf to death's entreaties.